The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Acts 2:38, in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the command is to repent and be baptized. If this is true, can receiving the Holy Spirit actually be considered a gift? You are listening to Grace in Focus. We come to you from the Grace Evangelical Society, and we are delighted that you're with us today. Our website is faithalone.org, and if you are able, we'd love for you to join us next week at our annual national conference, May the 19th through the 22nd. It'll be held at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas, and perhaps you're flexible enough to join us. We hope you can. Find out registration details at our website, faithalone.org. Get registered and join us. We'd love to see you there. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
I got to be honest with you. I have looked at Acts 2:38 many, many times, been in many, many discussions on Acts 2:38. And we have a question from one of our listeners on Acts 2:38. And I've never been asked this
before. I know. It's a really good question.
And go ahead and tell us who's the question from and what is the question.
Absolutely. Okay. This question comes from Charlie. And as you mentioned, Ken, it's coming from Acts chapter 2. And his question is, if the gift of the Holy Spirit is not given to the Jews in Israel at the time of Christ until they repented and were baptized, is that still considered a gift? If something is a gift, it cannot be earned. But repentance and baptism are certainly works. Can you clear this up, please? I think maybe we should do a little bit of introduction to Acts 2 and maybe clarify some of the issues there.
Well, in Acts 2:38, first off, let's read the verse. Peter is talking to Jews who have believed.
That's right.
They believe in verse 37. They believe.
They're cut to the heart.
Yeah, they believe it. And they ask Peter what they should do.
Well, and specifically, these are the Jews that crucified the Lord.
Right.
And that's what Peter says to them. You crucified him.
Yeah, he says that in the sermon.
Right.
So now they believe that Jesus is the Christ, even though the nation a few weeks earlier had killed him, which is what Peter tells them, and like you said, they're pierced to the heart. They believe, and they ask, what do we do? And this is Charlie saying, well, Peter's going to tell them to do a work.
That's right.
Right? Here's what he says in verse 38. Peter said to them, after they say, what shall we do? So here's the work. And so Peter said to them, here's what you need to do. Repent. Okay, you need to turn from your sins and let every one of you be baptized. That's certainly a work, right? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then here's the point of the question that Charlie asked. And then Peter said, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, if Peter is telling them to do a good work, and he tells them to do two things, you got to repent and you got to be baptized in the name of Christ. Okay. And then he goes, you will receive the gift. How can that be a gift? Right?
Right. I mean,
how would we respond to that? It seems that Peter is indeed saying, okay, I'll give you this gift if you do this. But if you do this, if you have to do something, then it's not a gift.
Yeah. And so a couple just free grace issues, because like you mentioned at the top, that this is a passage we get asked about a lot because it will be used in evangelistic settings quite a bit. And so just a quick thing that, as you mentioned, Peter's speaking to believers. These are already born again individuals, but they're, when they ask, what must we do? They're not asking, what must we do to be saved from the lake of fire? They're asking, okay, we crucified the Lord. What do we do now in terms of fellowship? How do we fix this?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
This is a fellowship issue.
That's right.
Here in verse 38.
Which I think is key to answer Charlie's question.
Sure.
Right.
And this repentance.
It doesn't lead to them receiving eternal life. It leads to them receiving the remission of sins.
Yes. It seems clear to me that the repentance and be baptized
right.
for the remission of sins goes back to John the Baptist. Right? This
right.
was John the Baptist's message. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the same message that John preached to the nation of Israel.
Which makes sense because Peter is speaking to Jews.
Peter is picking up where John left off, except now they know who the Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. You crucified him. What do we do? And so this forgiveness of sins is offered to the Jews if they do these things.
Yeah, so basically our point is that an unbeliever doesn't have to repent and be baptized in order to receive eternal life. Those right. are not requirements. It's always, and this is our whole mission, right, for GES, is that it's always a message of eternal life by faith alone as a gift.
Yes, know? And yeah. what we see in the first few chapters of Acts is a reoffer of the kingdom to yeah. the nation of Israel.
Exactly.
We see it in chapter 3, right, times of refreshing mm-hmm. may come upon you. And so before the kingdom would come, the nation of Israel needed to repent of its sin. In this case, repent from crucifying the Lord, yeah. the king now, mm-hmm. and be baptized in his name. That's now, obviously, right. this is not the same baptism as John's baptism,
right?
Because now Jesus has died and rose, mm-hmm. and they're to be baptized in his name. They know mm-hmm. who he is. But it is offering the forgiveness of sins. And as Catherine mentioned a few minutes ago, the forgiveness of sins here is a fellowship issue.
It's not eternal life.
It's right.
It's something else.
As many grace people have pointed out, people do not go to the lake of fire because of their sins. They go to the lake of fire because they don't have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter is starting with these believers, offering the nation here. Judgment is about to fall mm-hmm. upon this nation.
Right.
And you can have the forgiveness of sins. If they didn't get baptized, they would still have eternal life.
That's right.
Since they're believers. Mm-hmm. But in order to have the forgiveness of sins, which results in fellowship, this is what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John was calling the nation to this mm-hmm. In anticipation of Christ coming. If they would do this and then believe in the Christ, then the kingdom would have come to that nation. They mm-hmm. would have been a believing nation in fellowship with the Lord. And Christ would have brought the kingdom to that first generation.
So this message, I think one of the main points to say here is that this is not for us today.
Absolutely. He recognizes that in the question.
He does,
you know, hey, this is for the Jews. Got it.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Later in the book of Acts, we do see that, for example, Acts 10, when Cornelius comes to faith, he receives the Spirit immediately.
Right.
So there's a distinction between Israel, the Jews at that time, and Gentiles that are coming to faith at that time.
It also says in Acts 10:43 that those who believe in him receive the forgiveness
of sin. That's right.
They don't have to repent
yes.
and be baptized.
So this, like I said before, is a specific message to that generation of Jews and is not applied to us today.
Okay, so to answer Charlie's question here, so John the Baptist comes to the nation. He says, hey, listen, there's one coming after me who's stronger than I am, and he is coming, and he is obviously the king.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to offer the kingdom. If you will repent and be baptized, not only will you receive eternal life when you believe in him,
right.
but you will receive the forgiveness of sins. You will be in fellowship with him, mm-hmm. and he will bring in the kingdom to this generation of Jews.
Right.
Peter is saying the same thing here, mm-hmm. fellowship with these guys. But now they know who it is that they have to believe in. They mm-hmm. know that they've crucified Christ. So here's the question. Then why does Peter then say, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit,
which was not part of John the Baptist's
right.
message. Yeah.
That was not part of it.
So we're adding to it.
Yeah. So yeah. what is it that we would say, and how is this a gift? In other words, what Charlie is saying is these people had to do something to receive a gift. That's his question, right?
Which is contradictory.
So how would we respond to that? Well, Charlie, here it is. Here's what I would say. The promise Peter gives them is if they repent and are baptized, then they will have their sins forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that the simplest way to take this is that what Peter is saying is, but God's going to do more.
Yeah.
John the Baptist said you'd receive the forgiveness of sins. Okay. And you will too. Now you know who he is. If you believe in him, you receive eternal life. Okay, you're going to receive the forgiveness of sins, but God's going to give you something. In addition to that, in other words, it's not the repentance and the baptism that leads to the gift.
Or that you can earn, right? That's not that they're earning it.
Right. I'm going to give you this gift. And we could come up with a number of illustrations. Let's say I have a daughter in school and I say, hey, listen, if you get straight A's, I'm going to buy you a car.
That's a nice gift. Well, I never got that.
No, that's not a gift. I'm promising you something.
Sure,
if
sure.
you get straight A's, I'm going to buy you a car. And let's say she does it and I buy her a car. But then what if I also say, I didn't promise you this, but I'm also going to pay all your tuition for your college. That's a gift.
Yeah.
That wasn't part of the offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me that the simplest way to take Acts 2:38, and again, I've never been asked this before, would be, if you do this, I'm going to forgive your sins. We're in fellowship together. You already have eternal life. We're in fellowship, but I'm also going to give you a gift, which is the Holy Spirit.
We talked about the example of the prodigal son, mm-hmm. who was always a son, right? He's a picture of a believer who repents and he is restored to fellowship with his father. But what does his father do once he gets there? He starts showering him with all of these gifts, the robe and the sandals and the ring and the feast and the fatted calf.
And in fact, isn't that what the older brother says? You never gave me mm-hmm. any of these things.
Right. Yeah.
And the father didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Okay. The promise with repentance is that there will be restored fellowship. But like you said earlier, the Lord does so much more for us than that.
And what we see in this, when we come to the topic of eternal life, there are so many things that are given to the believer
mm-hmm.
in addition to eternal life.
That's right. Those who crucified the Lord, not only are they going to receive the remission of sins, but the Spirit will dwell in them permanently. That's wild.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like, for example, the believer is also given redemption, which is not the same thing as eternal life, been mm-hmm. set free from the power of sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's been given a gift. He's been placed in the body of Christ.
He received a spiritual gift.
He's been given access.
Yeah.
Christ becomes his high priest. There's so many gifts that are added to eternal life. And so here, Peter is offering them this forgiveness of sins, and he goes, God's mm-hmm. going to give you a gift too.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the gift here is not because they've
earned it.
Yeah, yeah. Repented, and I'm going to give this to you.
Right. Well, I think this is a good stopping point. Thanks, Charlie. That was a really great discussion.
You made us think.
You sure
so
did.
Thank you for that.
And in the meantime, y'all, keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, claiming to be saved without life change. Is it genuine? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.